Welcome to the Survive to Thrive Radio Network at www.survive2thrive.net. Times are getting tough for most of us, and being prepared has never been more important. All of our hosts strive to keep you well informed so that you can achieve optimum health in all areas of your life. If you feel that the shows and website are informative, please share this information with your friends and family. If you would like to see certain topics covered, please let us know. Join us on Facebook to help spread the word. You can find the link at the bottom right of the Survive to Thrive homepage. EnerHealth Botanicals is the sole sponsor for this network, providing you not only with important information, but also with highly effective products that produce real results, such as EnerFood, coconut milk powder, liver cleanse, Coco Mojo, Silymarin, NutriCafe, and introducing the new 40-day, 40-night organic preparedness pail. A preparedness supply unlike any other on the market today. Supporting EnerHealth supports both this network and your own health. Without good health, we go nowhere. Go to survivetothrive.net and click on the EnerHealth banner on the top right for automatic discounts, or call them at 866-762-9238. That's 866-762-9238. You can also go to their website at www.enerfood.com. That's E-N-E-R-F like Frank, O-O-D like dog.com. Enerfood.com. A big thank you to all of our listeners already taking the products that EnerHealth offers. We truly appreciate it. We thank you for your support and encourage you to listen often to stay informed during these crucial times.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hawk coming to you live. And once again, I've got a little trouble with the old computer. It would not come up, could not connect, could not get on, do anything with it. And I've been just fine up until about a half an hour ago. And then right before the show comes on, bingo, nothing will work. None of this stuff will work. So thank you to the NSA pukes and screwballs who want to play games with me, and that's the way it is. Now, let me tell you what. Now it's coming up just fine, of course, but I'm not on the air with it, so I'm having to do this with a little bitty little talkie, so to speak, here. So consequently, ladies and gentlemen, I will just go with this for that now, and that's the way we'll go. You know, the fact is that we're sitting here, and I know something big is getting ready to happen. Now, do you see how they switched AI or whoever is in charge of it switched from one topic or two and from focusing in on Venezuela and socialism and all this kind of stuff and the Russians and all of that and now focusing in on sex stuff and salacious investigations and R. Kelly and Kraft of the football team, the Patriots, and all these kind of things to keep you busy and titillated. You had Jesse Smollett and all of that, and then to counteract Smollett, you know, had to have the Coast Guard guy that had been watching for 2 years or more. And people, you got to understand this thing. This guy is a goofball or crazy or whatever. His name is Hassan. I wonder if he has Middle Eastern heritage, okay? Like I questioned last night. But the fact of the matter is, he wants to do something and supposedly kill everybody off. And then on TV, I noticed they showed, you know, a bucket full of vials, you see. And then those were the human growth hormone vials. But in terms of that, then their discussion on air was how he wants to kill everybody, you know, almost everybody on the planet Earth, and then create the great white nation and all that kind of business, okay? But you see, human growth hormone is not going to kill everybody, but people thought that those were vials of plague. You got to watch what they're showing you visually with what they're telling you as well. And consequently, you had that scenario. But now today, it's all Smollett, R.K., R. Kelly, Kraft, and then going back into the thing with the former U.S. attorney from the Miami deal, who is now Trump's labor secretary, but they're going back to Clinton's old buddy, Epstein from Miami, but they're going back now and attacking it. Not so much of Epstein is the problem, but it's the Trump's labor leader, you see, here, labor secretary. They used to be, and they cut some kind of a deal back to Miami with Jeffrey Epstein and all of that. And now there's been some kind of a movement to say that that deal was wrong and all that. And it may very well have been. But at the time, that was the legal DOJ situation. Now, the reason they cut any deal with him at all is because Clintons were involved heavily with Epstein and going to his private island, all right? Now, these cases that they were talking about were in the Palm Beach area or whatever, or where his home was, and there's no doubt that there was probably a lot of bad stuff. And I don't know why they gave him the thing. Other than that, you had Hillary Clinton in power, you know, in the Secretary of State back then. You had Obama as the Joker Tut, and consequently, you had a deal that was cut for some reason. Now, all of that is what is taking up the airwaves tonight, when in fact you're getting ready to possibly see, as I told you, and as we've seen overnight, yesterday, we saw the military, and I've seen all the videos, and I'm sure you have too, seen the Venezuelan military shooting people and trying to stop the trucks from coming in, and the people are just trying to get to let the trucks in, okay, with the aid, the food, the medical supplies, the blankets, the all of the hygienic supplies, all the things that Maduro is starving his people for or from in order to retain power. Now, his kids and his class, are they're all hotsy-totsy rich, okay, and doing it upright, you know, and all of that. Well, the fact of the matter is they're stealing all the oil money, that which they're not giving over to Russia or Red China, or loaning them money. But I'm going to take another take on this. Do you see that the people at the barricades are not armed? The indigenous people up on the border, you know, where they went into the Los Indios, an Indian village, and indigenous people. You know, they're Indians. I mean, I'm sorry, that's just the way I call it. But they're indigenous people, tribal people, where they were trying to get up in there, and then they shot somebody up in there, too. Now, the fact is, nobody's got a doggone shotgun, a pistol, or a revolver, a rifle, nothing. So I'm going to say this to you. Don't ever register nothing. Don't ever get anything. Do the best you can to get yourself set up with firearms, ammunition, all of it, in spite of what they're trying to sell you with the Coast Guard guy. The number of weapons that Coast Guard guy has is nothing. I mean, like I said last night, go look. I mean, I used to know guys in Texas. They were wealthy family. And they used to own, let's just say a business in a couple different cities. And they used to have a big ranch, all right? And they would fly a Bell Jet Ranger helicopter and land on their businesses in the various cities. And out back up their patio, as you came out of their big house, at the end of the family room or whatever, there was, you know, stone porch and a stone patio and all that stuff, with walls there, And then they had out the back, in the back 40 or whatever there, they had a berm out there, and they had targets, and you could shoot, and they had fully automatic weapons, okay? And boxes of ammo, all right? You know what I'm saying? Let it go. Let it fly. All legal. They paid their tax stamps, okay? Now, this guy, he had stuff that only was illegal because allegedly he had purchased the Tramadol or whatever the painkiller. He was an illegal painkiller. So then that makes it that, and then the HGH, he had a lot of that, and maybe he's what didn't get in on the up and up with a prescription or whatever. So then by way of the drugs, okay, he then is unable to possess firearms, you see. And then they have what I would call almost to a certain degree thought crimes. He's committed no crime in terms of actually trying to kill anybody. But this is, as I was reading about, the Idaho laws. It's the new red flag laws, okay? It's the pre-crime kind of stuff. It's the stuff that cannot, you know, that you didn't do anything. But by golly, they grabbed you, you know? Or it's like in that one little town in Illinois where they assumed that there was an occupancy per household kind of a law in this little small community. I forget the town, back about 5, 6, 7 years ago. And somebody woke up in the middle of the night, and the cops are just walking around in the middle of the night in their house with a flashlight. And they thought that they had the right to go in. You know, they had no warrants. Security check. You know, all that kind of horse crap. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's going to come to a time when whatever happens, whether it be an EMP, whether it be a Russian hypersonic hits, you know, and takes out D.C. or New York, gets rid of Babylon, so to speak, Misty Babylon, or hits L.A. or the Texas Gulf Coast, the Louisiana Gulf Coast, takes out a lot of oil and refinery capacities. That's what they want to do. I don't know. But whatever it is they were going to do that would strike against the United States, or if there was a solar EMP. Now, isn't this interesting? I was going to tell you this last night, but, you know, this aurora borealis that looks like a dragon, it's the dragon aurora. Oh, it's beautiful and green. It looks like a slithering dragon, doesn't it? Well, isn't that interesting that that appeared and is being discussed right after the shootings in Aurora, Illinois, by what I think is an MK Ultra type. All right, now you got the Aurora in two positions, all right, or two separate fields. But let's go back, because I just happened to see this the other night, watching on a History Channel, or some channel, where they were talking about the Bolshevik Revolution. And they called it the October Revolution, but it really happened in November. Now, what's kind of interesting about all of this is when President Trump was doing his border presentation, the declaration of a state of emergency because of the border, Mexican or the southern border of the United States. And you remember that Pelosi, Miss Lubrak of 1959 in the Baltimore area, literally, you can look it up, Miss Lubrak, 1959, you'll see her picture. And boy, oh boy, she was the hotsy-totsy beauty queen with the auto mechanics at the lube shop down the street, you see. Because her daddy allegedly was involved somehow or another with organized crime or politics or crookedness of some sort. D'Alessandro, well, anyway, You got Pelosi talking about, well, some other president with different values could have a state of emergency with respect to what did she say? Gun violence in America, where emergency could be declared. Now, that was like the day or so, or right before, or the day of, or the day after of the anniversary of the high school in Florida, Parkland High School. And, of course, that guy, that kid, had what was it, 30-some arrests or 30-some visits by the local sheriff and the cops and everybody, and they all knew who he was, and that nobody ever, even in spite of the fact that he threatened his mother and all, or the, you know, the stepmom or the foster mother or whoever, all of that stuff, that they would never do anything about him. Well, you see, Pelosi then goes on to say, and everybody thought she was just delusional. You see what I'm saying? And I'm going to come around to the point about Aurora in 2 seconds. I hear you out there. Yeah, you. Right there, you who are making the funny face. I can see you. And Pelosi starts talking about, at that same period there, about Happy Thanksgiving when it was Valentine's Day. Well, here's the deal. The shooting of Aurora comes up, and then here's where we get to the point. During that Bolshevik Revolution, which is called the October Revolution, there was a ship in the harbor, you see, or up the whatever the river was, but it was in the river estuary there, and right at the key position of the Bolshevik Revolution, that vessel fired its guns. And those guns were the signal for naval infantrymen to assist with the Bolsheviks, the Ocasio-Cortez types, and the different socialist types, you see, where they had guns and everything, and then they're going to go and take over the Tsar's palace, and they're going to go bust the whole thing up and take over the government and grab the Tsar and the whole nine yards, right? And his family, well, guess what the name of the ship was in the Russian harbor that fired its guns, that was the signal, the go signal to make the final push in the Bolshevik Revolution? That ship was called the Aurora, and you're in November, which is close to our Thanksgiving Day, you see, and then Pelosi may have had, Hawk did not say, I guarantee you Pelosi had it. He said, Hawk said that allegedly Pelosi may have had pre-information or pre-loaded info about gun violence that was going to take place in the United States with an MK-Ultra subject, you see, which happened to be in Aurora, which then after that has spawned the Dragon Aurora Borealis. You know what I'm saying? Now, that's an interesting scenario, but that is the way of the Luciferian chessboard, the multidimensional chessboard, you see, where the lie is different on each level of the chessboard, but there are thematic things that string you out and go all through the whole thematic universe, if you want to call it that. And they have little neat little things. And then you see all of it is tied in with the entire socialist push in government right now by the Democrats. And I'm just going to call them by the Commissar Kamala Harris, Commissar Pelosi, Commissar Schumer, okay? They're communists. They're communist scumbag, and most of them are Luciferian, or at the very least, they are somebody without any belief in any God or any kind of thing. Total atheists. They believe in whatever gets them to be in a position where they are part of the nomenclatura, the nomenclatura, the special list of all the Soviets that had access to all the good life, okay? Oh, they had the sports cars, or they had all the good food, all the good booze, all the access to travel, could go this place, that place, get into all the ballets, get into all the sporting events, and had the top drawer lifestyle. Had the big, bigger apartments and all of it. Although at the end of the thing, particularly during Stalin's day, every single apartment was listened to and surveilled. Okay? Stalin wasn't even Russian. Stalin was a Georgian. You know, this whole thing is just amazing because it is the same crew, you see, that are inheriting the same kind of things, that are going down the same paths that were gone down before. They're trying to utilize playbooks from National Socialism, you see, which at the same time demonized communism, but it was in itself National Socialism, the Nazis. See, they're all totalitarian systems where very few have the wealth or the power, and that's it. And everyone else is, you know, is the woke. Woke's popular, the woke, the people, you see. Which then get chewed up in wars in the military or in purges or like the good farmers in the Ukraine, the kulaks, who were extremely middle-class, upper-middle-class farm people, right? Total bounty of crops, the whole nine yards, and they were destroyed by Stalin and all the people and starved out. We're going to have a world much like that again. Brother Quayle told you that at last fall at Branson that the Lord had told him that once you did this particular deal in Branson, that after that, things would not be normal ever again, this country. And then as you look, and you look at Deagle.com, D-E-A-G-E-L.com, Deagle.com, and you see certain things, because they are the ones that do the predictions using inputs from the intelligence community, from the deep state and all the intelligence agencies, of which there are a considerable number and a lot of them you don't even know about. Because there's private stuff, too. There's corporate stuff, all right? So the fact of the matter is, when Deagle says in 2017 that we had a population of 327 million and we had basically you know, world population of 7.4 billion, and you had a national GDP in 2017 of $19 trillion in the United States. And then in 2025, which I'm going to tell you is not very, you know, too far off from here, within 6 years, right? The population originally was a lower number yet, as they first made it, but then they revised it back up, as you recall. The population, according to Deagle, D-E-A-G-E-L.com, in 2025, the United States is going to be only 100 billion. So that means 227 million people have got to die, okay? And that the world population then is 6.9 billion rather than 7.4. And then the national, the GDP for America, they're predicting, rather than being $19 trillion, will only be $2.4 trillion. So something that Deagle knows about, that is from the data of the intelligence communities, or in fact might be the plan of the Luciferian high-level New World Order Luciferian bankers and internationalists and global pieces of crap, or in fact the fallen angel, the Anunnaki's return, you see? The fallen angels coming back, kind of a thing. Lucifer's plan to take down the United States, which may be the last impediment, you see, in terms of freedom, the last impediment to put in the world system, or one of them. So consequently, what's going to happen? Well, we know that if an EMP pops, you would lose a population approximately 90% within 1 year. I'm reading this book, and thanks to Doc Jack, Charlotte area. Thank you, Doc. I'm reading William R. Forston's book, 48 Hours. And it's talking about a condition in the United States where there's already been one coronal mass ejection, which has taken down and crippled the grid. And then they're predicting for another one to come in. It again, but after that, they're predicting about a huge, what they're calling a coronal proton ejection, which is going to be so much radiation in this prediction that within a few hours or a day or so, it might, if it hit the direct hit on the planet, and depending on the duration, would kill almost everybody on the planet, not within days or weeks, but almost instantly, like a extinction-level event. Now, I won't ruin the book, but let me just tell you something. Let me read a little something from it here, because it's kind of interesting, and I'm not done with the book as yet. But in this book, and it goes in here where the president has just given a truthful speech, okay, based on what a researcher's told him. But to hear your entire world might face death in a little more than a day, what then for comfort? What would be the actions not just of individuals, but of all of billions when the final day is at hand? So, cities were beginning to burn, flaring high across America, in Europe and beyond, and for some, it was indeed the last holiday, the last orgy of gratification. Within minutes, neighborhood stores were attacked, ever-growing mobs taking what was wanted, usually liquor to help fuel the frenzy, and then just walking out, and a few shopkeepers pursued, for after all, it was their earthly things they should have sold for a profit. A six-pack of beer, a bag of chips, bizarrely, in several such places, even lottery tickets. And then and there, the killing started. And the thief shot in the back, the shopkeeper knife, or shot in retaliation, and the mobs would truly loot the store and set it afire in a bacchanal celebration of destruction. And you see, he even talks about how the preppers continue to keep prepping in order to hope against hope. It goes into a whole long detail about people stealing cars and how people are saying, well, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die in a Lamborghini, you know, things like that. But in the rest of the book, the power elite feel that they can survive in these deep underground bunkers that are stored up with food. And in this particular case, there's a setting in the Missouri Ozarks. So if you want to read an interesting book, William R. Forstchen, F-O-R-S-T-C-H-E-N, M-R, 48 Hours, New York Times bestselling author of One Second After. If you haven't read One Second After, I would recommend you read that. And then also read his 48 Hours and read his other books too. Because when you get the whole picture of it, you start to see where we're headed. And only Lord Jesus is going to be able to take care of you.
Hello there, and welcome to the bottom of the hour. This is Darren Craddock for Inner Health Botanicals, sole sponsor of the Survive to Thrive radio network, bringing you The Hawk on Thursdays and Fridays, Nurse Amy and Dr. Bones on Tuesdays, and myself with Total Health Freedom on Mondays and Wednesdays. We are all here to keep you informed and tell you more about how to stay healthy and aware. We talk on staying well naturally, being prepared, growing your own, and more. With the right tools, foods, and information, we give you the kind of truth that will set you free. Please support our network.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hawk on Survive2Thrive.net. That's the number two. Survive2Thrive.net. And I'm telling you, this whole thing is dependent, if you're going to survive, if you have any hope of surviving, what is to come, as we've discussed in Matthew 24, Luke 21, in the book of Revelation, which are the revelations of Lord Jesus has told to John of Patmos. If you're ever going to have that salvation in terms of just being alive on this planet, because Jesus says that, you know, if it were the time were not shortened for the elect, there would be no flesh would be saved. There would nobody be alive. And there's going to be stuff that's going to happen that's never, ever happened before. So consequently, nor ever shall be. Read Matthew 24, read Luke 21. And just as Brother Quayle and I said back in 2004, and I can remember the night just like it was bingo, just like I can remember. Because I remember Steve saying, Hawk, you and I have had a lot of discussions. Why don't you take me on a tour around the world, what you see coming in the near future? And I went into Ezekiel 38 and 39, and the God made God war, and explained all of that. But then we also identified, and Steve and I talked about, India, Pakistan, and China, you see. And now in that eruption over there, you also got Pakistan terrorists killing Indians and then also killing Iranians. And Iran wants to do Pakistan, too, as well as India. But India is getting real serious and should be. Now, what's interesting is India and Pakistan are both nuclear nations. They have nuclear weapons. Now, everybody is so up in arms about what Trump wants to give the Saudis, nuclear power, and blah, 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 blah. They would build a bomb. They already have the bomb. Colonel Bogreitz told me that he was in Saudi Arabia and he was out there at one point in time and they were out in the desert and in the underground bases in the desert, Saudi Arabia, where their Air Force and stuff hangs out, that they had nuclear weapons in there already. With all the money the Saudis had, don't you think they could have built a few? Heck yeah. The Iranians built them. The Iranians have a lot more of them than you think. They had at least 40 devices that they got off the black market back in 2004 when I told and warned the Navy and the Pentagon to get our three carrier groups out of the Persian Gulf because the Aegis systems could not handle protection. acquisition of the Carrier Group, even back then, which was before the later improvements, notwithstanding they're not working like they thought they would either. Consequently, you got Turkey buying an S-300 or an S-400 system rather than an American system. The U.S. Pentagon and the U.S. military is buying the Israeli Iron Dome system from the Israelis. And we do not have, essentially, an anti-ballistic missile system, an ABM system, because we signed the ABM treaty with the Russians, although the Russians have a complete system interlocking on their whole perimeter of anti-missile missiles, you see. S-400, they have an S-500 system that essentially can control the airspace with thousands of targets out to about 500 miles. So they've got it all over the coastline, and they got it all in the center, too. Then they got pretty well a system that can react incredibly against any missiles coming in. So then while we're playing by the rules, they didn't play by the rules, right? When you take away the guns, only the criminals got the guns, right? Because they didn't play by your rules. And now Pelosi and them are still going to go, and they're trying to do it. And the way they're trying to do it is with the looky-see red flag. Oh, he might be a danger to himself. Like the old Siberia bill. In those days, if your grandmother's cousin said that you were crazy, and they could convince your local sheriff or police man, oh, he's crazy, then they could put you in the booby hatch into the asylum, where then they immediately either gave you a chemical lobotomy of Thorazine or some kind of heavy drugs, which then you would go crazy, particularly if they had you in court. You wouldn't even be responsive, all right? Or after a while, if they just decided that you were too crazy, or maybe the crazy your real aunts and uncles and cousins wanted to inherit your money and your property, well, then they would just say, well, maybe they need a lobotomy or a transorbital leucotomy, you see, little ice pick work, or just, you know, 500 electroshocks. That would do it. That was the Siberia bill. Now we've got, without any due process, without any court order, any kind of a thing, a red flag law that's being trying to be implemented in Idaho. Although Idaho tends to be liberal in the Boise area, you see. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, if you do not have firearms, or if you've got one, I suggest you go get more. And I suggest that you get a minimum of 1,000 rounds for each weapon you have. So if you have a rifle, and whether that be a sniper rifle, in other words, a scoped long-range shooting rifle for deer hunting, you know, a 308, a 30-06, a 338 Lapua, you know, something like that. Could be a 270, you know, .270, but I mean, something that you can reach out with it out to, you know, 5, 6, 7, 800, 1,000 yards maybe. If you had big money and you had Ronnie Barrett special, in the 50 cal with a doggone good scope, and if you had the one that was semi-automatic, you could use it like Colonel Bogreitz told me. He took a bunch of those Ronnie Barrett specials over to the Mujahideen. back in Afghanistan years ago when the Russians were over there. And he showed the guy, he told the story that they had a target out there. I think it was like, 3,000 yards or I don't know, whatever it was, 2,000 yards, 3,000 yards. And they zoomed in on it with the good optics, and he shot a bolt through the bullseye. And the Afghan guy says, well, that's good. And, you know, maybe I could even do that if I had a, not an impossible shot. I mean, I could maybe rainbow shoot over to that. Because the Afghans were good riflemen. Always were back in those days. You have a lot of British because of that. But then Wright said that he looked down and got his cheek weld, but he kind of turned up and looked at the guy with one eye, and then he went, pow, 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 and they all drilled him down through the center. Then the old Mujahideen, the old Muj, said, Allah Akbar. You see what I'm saying? It's like, you better get you some kind of a rifle. And I'm not advocating Allah Akbar. I'm using that just as a little bit of a story or an aside. But you'd better be able to defend yourself against what is going to come. And to defend your family, defend your property, and to defend your food supply, your water purification supply. And, you know, there's going to come a time when there'll be bartering. There'll be different items. And I was reading up on some bartering things and just some ideas. And I've been reading some of the survival magazines, like Survival Guide, that kind of stuff. And one thing I was going to tell you is that an item that you may not have thought to stock or to put back in your preps is maybe for each person in your family, for yourself, your spouse, your children, or your grandkids, and maybe a couple for the neighbors or whatever. You need to put extra pairs of boots that are at least with a waterproof liner in them, that are halfway decent boots, okay? Now, they can be shorter boots, you know, the little short ones. And if you go down at a lower level, that would still be good. Bass Pro and Cabela's, they've got stuff for, $30, $40, $50 that have a waterproof membrane and a halfway decent sole and decent comfort that would, in a pinch, provide you with something good. You also might want to talk for your good pair of boots, because you do need a good pair of boots, particularly insulated ones. And if we're talking about the possibility also of a sun popping everything off, at the same time, we're also talking about the possibility of earthquakes or volcanoes putting so much stuff into the air that we create a mini ice age. We don't know exactly what's going to happen. All of what Lord Jesus says, it's going to be so bad you ain't never seen anything like it. Wars, rumors of wars, Famines, pestilences, earthquakes in diverse places. So, ladies and gentlemen, put extra boots down for yourself. And that would be a good item, at least one extra pair. And if you've got real good, hunting or combat boots that have got insulation in them to keep you warm, if you have a hot summertime or something, you might want to get something that has no insulation. Or you may want to get something like, say, if you had 1,200 gram to insulate boots or the real heavy stuff, or if you're in it, or pack boots. You may want to get you a pair of boots that maybe has 200 gram of insulation, because you can still wear that in the summertime if need be. And while you're at it, you might get you a dozen extra pair of good quality socks. Now, there's a good quality sock that I've been wearing. Being diabetic, the standard ones that get all up your feet. But Fast Pro has got a merino wool, high-quality sock that does not constrict. And a lot of these new socks constrict the blood flow in your feet, ankles, and legs. But these merino wool, specially woven for diabetic, are tremendous socks. But I would suggest that you go and look at your, you know, at your Bass Pros, your, you know, your different Cabela's, your various types of things, Shields, you know what I'm talking about, Academies, and look at the better quality stuff. You can go to your discount places and stuff too. You can sometimes find them pretty good. But get something that is going to be where you got 10, 12 pair of socks. And you got to keep those in your bug out bag too, because if your feet get wet, you're in deep trouble. But if you've got liners or a membrane that's waterproof in there, and you got some insulation, then you got a good chance. If you keep dry socks and keep them clean, then while you're at it, you might add foot powder. But now there's just some preps that you, people are not necessarily thinking about. People say, I'm going to have 27 firearms, and blah, 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 blah. If you had a rifle, a pump shotgun, 12 gauge, and you had, you know, a pistol, semi-automatic pistol, Glock, Sig Sauer, whatever it might be, Springfield, XD, you know, S&P, Smith & Wesson, you know, whatever. A lot of other good ones. And there's some ones that are less expensive as well. You can get some pretty good Taurus semi-autos that are not as expensive. They're very serviceable. You got some Rugers that are not as expensive, that are very serviceable. But anymore, you can get a pretty good price on a lot of these things compared to what they used to be, I think. Because in some cases, the price has come a little bit down or not gone up very much. And that's for now. I like Glocks because what I read the first thing about Glocks is they fired some of the first Glock 17s. They fired them for up to 300,000-400,000 rounds without any feeding problems or any kind of a trouble, you know? But you get whatever you want to get. A good revolver, excellent. Revolvers in terms of feedability and terms of workability, they're just tremendous. And I like a Smith & Wesson 357 where you can shoot 38 Special or the 357. You got two calibers. But you can get whatever you like on those, too. And then if you had the shotgun, a revolver, and a pistol, and maybe you got one of each, you know, or maybe you got a small hideout semi-auto and a regular semi-auto. Maybe you got a 45 and you got a 9mm. You got a 45 or a 40 cal and a 380, you know, or something like that. Or you've got a 357 mag revolver, you know, and maybe you've got a small Ruger LCP for a hideout. But you got to have maybe one or two. Jesse James and all them boys, and even Pirates, the old days. But let's just talk about the old Jesse James, Quantrill, and all them guys, and the Rebels. When they'd hoover around the town, they'd have about 6-7 pistols in their belts and in their jacket and different holsters, shoulder holsters, and what have you. But I'm telling you, you're going to need something to defend yourself, because I think, just as I read you that passage from that book by Portion, The 48 Hours, it's just going to go wild weasel. Or maybe You're going to have Maduro types trying to make sure you don't get any food where they're going to get all the food, you see. And if you got trucks coming in with aid, just maybe you're the indigenous types, you think you could have cobbled up a bow and arrow with some poison dart, something on the tip, you know, or a blowgun or a few machetes, and you could have just opened them gates yourself, you know, and took care of whatever Maduro types was front of the checkpoint and ran that old food and good stuff on in there for your population and your children that are starving. So this is not a faint of heart deal. This is not a political solution for what is coming. And in case you haven't noticed, a lot of the things that President Trump espoused, he cannot do. And a lot of the things he wasn't going to do, he's not doing because the powers that be, he's had to cut deals with them to survive and his family to survive. It's not that he has turned, you see, it's that he is surrounded. And they have said to him, we're going to take you completely out if you don't cut the deal. Now he cuts a deal or two, like with Barr, you see, with Bolton, you see. And he's trying to buy less heat from all these people in the Luciferian elites in the deep state that want to kill him. He's got a hungry vice president who's out there right now being the president. And I know President Trump doesn't necessarily want to go. And you know why he doesn't want to go? Because it's not safe for him to go. Because there have been, I suspect, I do not know, but I suspect there have been a whole lot of attempts. I've heard some rumors, you know, been a whole lot of attempts on his life that they don't tell you about. So he has to pay attention to security because he's got the JFK problem because of all the Luciferian scumbags at the top slot of the Pentagon, the CIA, CIA, the CIO, you know. Plus the Russians, plus the Red Chinese, plus the Iranians. Was every Tom, Dick, and Harry in the communist left. So I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, we'll keep old Hawk on the air, giving it to you the best he can and tell you the best truth as the Lord has directed him to do it as he sees it as a watchman. And I hope you like to keep me on air. You've done it for going on 15 years. So I'm doing something correct and I've been obedient. Because there's power in the blood of Jesus. Let me tell you, there is power in the blood of Jesus. And don't ever forget it. If you have not repented of your sins, then repent of your sins, the Lord Jesus. Ask him to come into your heart and to be your Savior. And he will change you. He'll use the blood to wipe you and wash you clean. And that's your best only hope. You can reach me on the internet, you know, or email radiohawk777@hotmail.com. radiohawk777@hotmail.com. I do try to answer people who send me an email if I can. I can't answer all of them. You can reach me by mail, and if you can and you want to include something, it could be FRNs, Federal Reserve Notes, could be a little ounce of silver, a little piece of gold, whatever it might be, check, money order. Anything is most needed and appreciated. Send it to Hawk, 3965 West 83rd Street, number 356. Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208, Hawk, 3965, West 83rd Street, number 356, Prairie Village, Kansas, 66208. May the Lord return it to you 10,000-fold. And much thanks to anybody who does send, and I don't always get to thank immediately or anything like that, but God bless you over there at the Warren Soul Drive, you know, my old Warren Soul Drive buddy. And all those who have been, and there's not many, there's just some, you know, people from towns in Montana, you know, people from Sioux Falls, South Dakota, or Iowa, not too far from there, Rochester, Minnesota, Richland, Michigan, up in Maine, God bless you. Dunlap, Iowa, bless you. So anyway, I would tell you this. Also been made aware also of Russian soldiers in Manitoba and Chinese in Manitoba and Canada. And apparently they're in border towns in Manitoba, the Russian soldiers. They have seen about 15 to 25 in their area. They're in their military age. And there's a law in Canada that the workers of Russia have to have and pass an English exam in order to immigrate. But apparently there's Russians in there, and they're staying just like they were in the lake regions that we've talked about in the past years, as I've had reports, eyeball witnesses in the Great Lakes areas, Michigan and Indiana and the Ohio, and, you know, and up in New York and different places, and also Russians down, you know, in the North Carolina, in the mountains over there by Gatlinburg and all of that area. All the different places up in Montana. And they stay in old motels, like the old motel that used to have the sign, free TV, you know, TV and free, you know, swimming pool or whatever, or magic fingers in the bed, you know, whatever it was that they used to advertise with the old neon sign of Lincoln with the big chief or something on the outside, or the tomahawk, or the teepee, you know. Whatever it might have been, the old Thunderbird Motel or the TP Motel or whatever they used to call them from the 50s. And they're staying in those old places like that, and old fish camps and hunting camps, little cabin kind of deals, you know, out in the rural areas, in the big piney woods, you see. Then the Chinese are up there, too. This is a report. I'll read this maybe again at another time. Some of them have been working in the trucking industry, the Chinese. And I've told you about how the red Chinese are in Canada because they're in the bank. And the old Lee family has biological microbiology lab in Calgary. And they also run an oil, tar sand oil, don't they? Well, ladies and gentlemen, good night to you. May Lord Jesus bless you. And, you know, may the mighty men and women of valor strike blows against the enemies on this planet, and the Lucys, Bendinga Rangers, I know you're ready, and Tiki Lapua. Tiki, you stay in the game, baby, and squeeze that old trigger. Don't go into there, Luciferian, knifed out of fight, ladies and gentlemen. Get out and prep. Get out and get some more food. Get out and get a firearm. Get some ammunition. Get some new boots. And trading items like kitchen matches.